Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's hour number 3, our third and final. It's a Football Friday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. He is DRS, that is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens, and this is the FTP, the Fade the Public Poll. DRS Philadelphia kicked off week number 2 of the NFL regular season last night. The Eagles getting a victory in front of the home crowd against the Vikings 34-28. Depending on where you got the number, 6.5 or 6 in some spots, the Birds either pushed or failed to cover by the hook in a late touchdown toss from Kirk Cousins. But Philly really dominant throughout the second half, Donnie, and looked really good starting off this season, a perfect 2-0. So we asked the public, Donnie, how do you feel about the Birds' overall outlook for the remainder of 2023? Can they contend for their second consecutive NFC championship? But most of the public, Donnie, not thinking the Eagles reached that point. Stalling out in either the divisional or wild card rounds, a postseason berth, but maybe not much more than that. Donnie, we said to end out hour number 2, both of us fading, thinking the NFC championship very much within the sights of Philadelphia. I wonder why the public sees it differently.
Yeah, in this poll here, too, there's 4 options, right? So you take the fans out of the equation, which is Super Bowl champs. You take the haters out of the equation, which is miss the playoffs. And you find yourself, well, where do the Eagles really fit in here? Divisional wild card round, NFC champions, which means they make the Super Bowl. I think there's a legitimate chance that they do contend once again. Keep in mind, from an Eagles perspective, you're coming into the season, you lost some players on defense, but you expected the first part of the season for players to get acclimated. N'Kobe Dean at middle linebacker, he goes down with an injury that never hurt. That never helps. And last night, midway through the second quarter, you're down 3 of your 5 starters in nickel formation, which included 2 cornerbacks and also a safety yesterday, and we're still able to win that game. Now, granted, also, if you take a look at just the final score, wow, look at that. The Eagles only won by 6. They should have won by more. You have to remind yourselves, they're up double digits, and you have the Minnesota Vikings basically on a drive that's going to eat up clock and probably score a touchdown, which they did, to get within that number. For a large portion of that second half, the Eagles were up double digits the entire way. You have to remind yourself of that. The same thing with the New England Patriots. They were up double digits for a good portion of that first half, hung on to win, but both of those de facto either push or probably cover a spread in those first 2. Look, it's hard to get back to the Super Bowl and win it. We get that. But the NFC figures to me like there's 3 real teams with competition. Yeah. The Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, and the San Francisco 49ers. And if the Eagles are good enough to be in that mix, and again, have a chance to beat the Dallas Cowboys and play them twice, and also take on the 49ers, we'll know, Ben, later in the season. But right now, I'm looking towards them to be probably the NFC champions once again.
Donnie, the radio audience has been waiting long enough. Joe Friso, you're our producer. How dare you don't give DRS the cue to bring the radio audience in to start off hour number 3. That would have fired everybody up. But a welcome, by the way, to our radio audience here. Sirius XM Channel 159, all of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold. He's Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie, that's what stood out to me. Not only the Fade the Public poll, expecting the Eagles to cap out before another chance to play for an NFC title, perhaps, but San Francisco is one of the most impressive teams in the NFC and all of the NFL week number 1. I think you could argue the 2 most impressive performances, San Francisco and Dallas, and the market reflected that in a positive way and positive movement for both the Niners and the Cowboys following week number 1. But San Francisco, after 1 week in which the Eagles also won, flipped to the favorites in the NFC championship market. Plus 320, slightly back now, plus 330, but still 20 cents in front of Philadelphia at plus 350. Brock Purdy was great in Pittsburgh on Sunday. All of the pieces for San Francisco, a stout defense, talented playmakers across the board, and we didn't even see all that much out of Debo Samuel or George Kittle, were fully on display in the Steel City this past Sunday. But Philly still won, and Philly's still 2-0 DRS to start this year, either covering or just barely not covering as the favored side. And yeah, Minnesota scored a touchdown with just over a minute left to make things a little bit interesting down late. But the Vikes now are 0-2 in one-score games. They were a perfect 11-0 in that category a season ago. The Birds a perfect 2-0 in one-score games. And Donnie, I think you saw a little bit of what Philadelphia can bring offensively. 28 carries, 175 yards, and a touchdown for DeAndre Swift. 48 rush attempts as a team for 259 out of the Birds' last night, and Jalen Hurts found the end zone courtesy of the behind push twice. I thought Philly looked really dominant. Two touchdown leads twice and for a good majority of the second half last night against Minnesota. I still have the most faith in the Birds as the true front runner in the NFC.
And let's also take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles, who couldn't get out of their own way in the first half and still racked up 34 points and 430 yards. The one thing that is really interesting, Miles Sanders was a very quality NFL back. Obviously got a good deal from the Carolina Panthers, left in free agency. But my goodness right now, if you're getting a snapshot of DeAndre Swift and what he can be behind this dominant offensive line, the sky is going to be the limit for that offense. Because all throughout the telecast, hey, look at Flores, see what he's doing here. Well, if you have the ability to just run the football at will against another team, wait till you open up the passing game, which you saw Devontae Smith do yesterday in a couple of those deep shots. I haven't seen running back play like that since Brian Westbrook for the Philadelphia Eagles in the early 2000s. Am I saying it's going to continue? Probably not for that margin, but also Swift has had some injury issues. If this offense stays healthy throughout the season, they're going to put up numbers routinely close to 30 points plus a game each and every week, regardless of the defense they play.
And DRS, what do we always say about the best football teams? They can win a game in a variety of ways. True. And that's what the Eagles have already showed. Jalen Hurts hasn't thrown for 200 passing yards yet.
No.
And the Eagles are a perfect 2-0. A.J. Brown's pissed about that, but at least he had a couple of targets last night. Four grabs, 29 yards. Devontae Smith continues to be that big play threat. Four grabs, 131 yards, and a touchdown. Donnie, you called it. Dallas Goedert would be more involved offensively. One target, zero catches a week ago. Seven targets, six grabs last night over his receptions prop of four and a hook. Now let's flip it to the other side, Donnie, for the Vikings. The odds expected Minnesota to regress in a big way this year. Despite being a 13-win football team last year, 11 of them by a single score, the Vikes had a win total of 8.5. They're now winless, 0-2, both losses by a single score. And it wasn't primetime Kirk Cousins' fault, although he falls to 7-10 straight up as the starter in primetime games in Minnesota. 31-44, 364 yards, four touchdown tosses. Justin Jefferson had a buck 59. Jordan Addison had 72 yards and a long 63-yard touchdown strike. TJ Hawkinson was more involved, seven grabs for 66 yards. The game plan was there, Donnie, for Minnesota to attack a banged up secondary, and Philly still won the football game. Minnesota has some questions to answer. Four turnovers yesterday. They had three turnovers in the opener against Tampa Bay. But I guess the overall point I'm making, Donnie, believe in the Birds. Philly will be back playing for an NFC championship once again. Football Friday with Mike Fluitt up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Football Friday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens, Donnie right side here, of course. And if it is a Football Friday, Mike Blewett now in the fold. He hosts In Game Live each and every Sunday for your NFL action starting around 4 p.m. Eastern time up until 8 p.m. Eastern for that late afternoon slate on a Sunday in the National Football League. Mike Blewett, thank you for joining us here on this Football Friday on TEL. We have you for the next two consecutive segments to break down a ton of games. But let's start with your reactions to week number one. We often overreact to a very small sample size, only a one-game sample size. So, Blewett, how are you taking your reactions from the opening weekend of this National Football League season and paying them forward to week number two?
Look, I think there's some difficulty. Thanks for having me on, by the way. I think there's some difficulty in trying to assess exactly what teams are going to look like based on a miserable performance. The Giants, the Steelers, obviously teams that really laid an egg in a big way. Cincinnati, yet another one. So there are a lot of teams like Cincinnati that didn't really play anyone during the preseason, and it looked like it showed in week one. I think you have to take it all with a grain of salt. The macro trends is really what you want to pay attention to, is that 10 road teams won in week one. We say it on this network a lot. If you're going to be betting into the NFL, you have to get comfortable betting road teams, betting underdogs, betting unders, and take your lumps when it doesn't happen. But the 10 road teams winning and the fact that 11 games were a one-score game in the fourth quarter means there's a lot of sweats out there. It continues the trend from last year where we had 203 such games, the most in NFL history. So a lot of close games late in the action.
So now, Blewett, as we dive into the Sunday slate that we have, first and foremost, a very short number in Atlanta between the Green Bay Packers and the Atlanta Falcons. In fact, we've seen this number move already, flipping favored sides. Green Bay opened as a 1.5-point favorite. Yesterday, it was even on the money line. Now the Dirty Birds at home, a slight 1.5-point favorite, -118 money line. Blewett, what do you make of the line flip? Do you agree with the movement?
I'm leaning towards Green Bay here, but the piece of this game that I got down on early in the week was the under. I just have to stay true to my preseason assessment, which has been right so far, is that the Saints and the Falcons in particular are two teams in the NFC South that I'm going to attack the unders for as long as I can. 40.5 isn't a particularly low number, but it's something that I'm comfortable with going under. The Atlanta Falcons won a football game, an NFL game last week, running 44 offensive plays, and they won that game by 2 touchdowns. It's exceedingly rare, but it also gives you some insight as to what they are trying to do, which is take the air out of the ball, protect their defense, which doesn't have a lot of talent on it, and utilize the offensive talent and Arthur Smith's scheme in order to win games. Granted, they were going against a rookie quarterback last week in week one, and this is a little bit of a different issue, but Jordan Love doesn't have a ton of experience. I think they continue the trend. I will say in general, Atlanta against the NFC North, against the spread in their last 15, 5-10, they're unders. Atlanta, 8 of their last 10 in general, 7 of the last 10 against the NFC, under. And Green Bay on the flip side, 12-3 in their last 15 games in September against the spread.
By the way, looking at this game, I completely agree with you that it goes to the under. If we're looking at last weekend, you're right, 24 points by the Atlanta Falcons. So one would think without looking at the box score, I'm like, hey, look at that. Their offense was really in a groove. They actually had a tied game heading into the fourth quarter before getting those last 14. And also total yards, Mike, 221 for Atlanta. You usually get a game with 221. You're barely even scoring 10 points in a game, let alone 24 points. If we're lining this game up, and if I ask you, who could be the player of the game? Because if you're looking from an Atlanta perspective, do we get more Bijan Robinson this week? Do we incorporate more of the passing game for Ridder? Or are we going to get a lot more of what we saw? Just have a quarterback make the right reads, get the first downs, don't make mistakes, and lean on our defense getting another 3 turnovers? How do you see this playing out here if you're from an Atlanta perspective, particularly on offense, Mike?
I don't know that there's any team that showed their cards more in week one, Donnie, than the Atlanta Falcons. Desmond Ridder, 15 of 18, so efficient, wasn't for much yardage at all, to your point. Again, they only ran 44 offensive plays. They forced the ball to Bijan. If anybody didn't watch the game last week, I can tell you it is nearly a carbon copy of what the New York Giants looked like in Saquon Barkley's rookie season, where they were willing to throw screen after screen after screen, and if he lost a yard, yard on those plays, they were willing to make up for it because then he breaks an 11-yard touchdown on a screen pass. Tyler Allgeier actually out-touched Bijan Robinson in week one. I don't expect that trend necessarily to continue much longer, but it does illuminate the fact that they're going to share the ball a bunch to protect Bijan's touches early on in the season. I think both guys touch the ball. I think they are going to take the air out of the ball and keep Jordan Love off the field, who threw the ball 50% more than Desmond Ridder did last week and threw for three touchdowns. You can beat up on the Bears all you want, but this Atlanta Falcons defense is not the strength of their team, and the Packers are going to try to attack it through the air, especially with Aaron Jones banged up.
The Jordan Love era starting in a very familiar setting. The ninth consecutive victory over Chicago, 245 and three TDs. Listen, Blue, I had questions about Desmond Ridder as the quarterback in Atlanta, despite all the offensive talent around him. I guess he did what was asked of him in the opener against Carolina, 15 of 18, efficient. 115 from a passing yards number and a touchdown. Elsewhere, Blewett, the Seahawks and the Lions. Detroit, the odds-on favorite now in the NFC North. The Lions, a 4.5-point favorite in the home opener in the Motor City following the opening night victory in Kansas City. What does Detroit, Blewett, do for an encore knowing expectation now follows?
And this continues the trend for Detroit that started in the middle of last season. We left them for dead in October last year, and they got on a roll. They're not the only team where that happened. But Seattle 9-1 in their last 10 overall against the spread. They are 12-3 when they have more than 6 days rest. They're coming on 10 days rest for this one, and 9-1 at home versus the NFC. The interesting thing about these two teams is the last two times they've played, they've scored more than 80 points. They scored 93 points in an early October matchup last year, the most in the NFL all of last season. These two teams hit the largest point total of the year last year when neither team was playing defense. No two teams have matched up to go over 80 points three times in a row. I'm starting to feel like it may happen here. I do not know, though, because I was covering it live, how to explain what happened to Seattle's offense from the midway through the second quarter through the end of that game. It was a miserable performance against the Rams. They started off fine, and the second that Jason Myers missed that field goal, it was like all the air came out of the offense. They couldn't get off the field defensively against the Rams, and they couldn't convert. So that Seattle deep offense is going to have to turn it around in week two.
Quick thoughts here on that game as well. Do we look to see Detroit now with that big win? Do we see as little bit of a letdown? I know it's going to be hard in the home opener, but Seattle also can't afford to go 0-2 here, Mike.
I mean, Seattle's 1-9 in their last 10, Donnie. For all the success that they had against the spread, they are 1-9 in their last 10, 0-7 in their last 7 versus NFC opponents, and 7-17-1 in their last 25. In September. So they are not a good covering team, even though they were winning last year. They weren't covering games. I understand the letdown factor, but I really do feel like this is a different version of the Lions. I'm not predicting anything outside of them being a divisional leader. Like Ben said, they are the odds-on favorites. They should be. Minnesota looks terrible. The Bears aren't a good football team, and the Packers are their lone competition, and we have yet to see what their full potential is. So I don't think the Lions have a big letdown here.
This is just the 7th time, and now the 3 years under Dan Campbell, Detroit booked as a favorite. Not the Hunters anymore. The Huntees. More around NFL Week 2 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week number 2 of the National Football League regular season already underway. 13 games in store for the second full Sunday of this NFL season. I'm Ben Stevens, DRS, Donnie right side here as well, as is the blue man, Mike Blewett. And speaking of being blue, that would be the New York Jets this week. Without Aaron Rodgers for the remainder of this season, he did have his Achilles repair surgery earlier this week. all sights on 2024, but still 16 games left for gangrene in 2023. In blue, we saw a ton of movement in this number as the New York Jets head to Dallas on Sunday at the Star as now a 9.5-point underdog, the total at 38.5. So, Blue, give it to us straight. How do you reassess everything for the New York Jets this season?
It's really difficult, obviously, for us to know exactly what this offense is going to look like. The good news is that I think everybody has learned by now, or should have learned by now, that this just Jets defense really gets after it. They can create turnovers, pressure, they cover. You know, Sauce Gardner might be the best player on the defense, guys, and we don't even really get a chance to see him because they are targeting Reed and other players in the defensive backfield far more than we ever get a chance to see Sauce. We see Quinnen Williams more than we see Sauce Gardner because teams are effectively leaving him alone. The 9.5 points feels like a ton, and both of these teams are coming off huge divisional opponent victories in prime time. I think a letdown could be possible for both teams. I'm more concerned about it with the Jets. I know their defense can get after it, but can they protect Zach Wilson? There are still obviously moments at the end of that game, despite the dramatic victory, where they still don't trust Zach to throw it. They were trying to run the clock out at the end of regulation and couldn't do it. They have Garrett Wilson on the team, and yet they didn't even attempt to pass to him late in the game to try to put it away. So there's some bigger trends here. The Jets are 3-12 in their last 15 against the spread in September. They're 1-5-1 on their last seven on less than 6 days rest, and 17-30-3 in their last 50 as a road underdog. I know that's, you know, through various regimes, but the Jets as a road underdog, really not great. And Dallas 12-3 in their last 15 after their opponent plays on a Monday. The one upside for the Jets in terms of trends is that Dallas, after a straight up win, only 3-7 against the number, and they're laying 10 here. It's a tricky one for me. I have a lot of concerns about the Jets protecting Zach, but it's a lot of points to lay.
Yeah, eyes play tricks on you sometimes from week one to week two. It's a fascinating game overall. Keep in mind, Cowboys won by 40 points, but only 265 yards of offense in that game against the Giants. We'll see how they fare against the Jets. Let's flip it over to a game out west. Two 1-0 teams in the NFC West. How about that? San Francisco, many people expected them to be 1-0. Not a lot of people probably expected the Rams to be 1-0 with a nice opening day victory here over the Seattle Seahawks. We look at this number. The FanDuel Sportsbook opened up at 6.5, now sits at 7. This line was sitting, Mike, at 8.5 earlier in the week. Uh-huh. Some buyback coming here on the Rams. Are we Rams believers, at least early in the week here against the 49ers? What's your look in this game for the 49ers and the Rams?
By the way, Donnie, second week in a row where we're getting buyback on the Rams. That Seattle line came down late, and now this one is coming down again during the week. So maybe I should have more faith in the Rams. The way I want to attack this game is because the Niners look so good in week one right out of the gate, and I do expect that again, is my favorite bet here in this game is Niners first half team total over. So that's just 13.5. I need the Niners to get in the end zone twice, and it doesn't necessarily have me trying to cover a number or worry about exactly what the Rams are going to do. I do not think the Rams will be able to stop this Niners team. If nothing else, I would say over the long haul, I think the Steelers defense is better than the Rams defense. Perhaps I've been too harsh on the Rams defense and we're still evaluating that, but I expect the Niners to get points early. So that's the angle I'm going to take. Niners over in the first half of 13.5.
44.5 is that total. San Francisco really good defensively, limiting the Steelers to only a touchdown last week. All right, elsewhere, back to the Mile High City, the Broncos go. A second consecutive home game where last week blew it. Denver was wildly disappointing once again, losing outright as a home favorite in the first game with Sean Payton at the helm. A 3.5-point spread in favor of the Broncos this week as they welcome in the Washington Commanders. A total at 39.5. Blewett, there is no, hey, let's develop and get better next year for Denver. Russell Wilson is there now with a lot of money tied to him. Sean Payton is there now. Can Denver win its first game of the year against Washington?
I think so, but they are 1-9 in their last 10 as a favorite, 1-6 in their last 7 as a home favorite, and 3-12 in their last 15 as a short favorite, less than 7 points. This is 3.5. You wonder if the spread factors in again. They played a very tight game last week, obviously, the tightest game on the slate. My angle for this game, and even though I definitely think Denver has a chance, I have concerns about their defense being able to make key stops. They weren't able to do it last week, and they didn't get run over. They didn't give up a ton of points, obviously, but I just have concerns about them getting off the field on third down. But there's strong under trends in this game. Denver 8-2 at home in September to the under. Denver, when their opponent is traveling from a long ways away, over 1,500 miles, which Washington is, that's 7 in a row to the under. So even though it is a low number and it feels uncomfortable, that's the way I'm leaning here. I think this game is in the balance late, and I'm going to lean towards an under. I see something similar to last week, maybe where we're only getting in the low 30s.
Went through a couple games here, Mike, with not a lot of points expected here. However, we'll go down to Jacksonville, take a look at a total that sits at 51.5 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. That's the Kansas City Chiefs and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Opening night, we saw a disappointing performance on the Chiefs. Make a couple catches, win a football game. That didn't happen. But also, getting some stars back into the fold. Jones should be back at defensive tackle. Kelce looking like he might make an appearance on Sunday as well as that superstar tight end that they were sorely lacking in the opening day. But also, you saw the Jacksonville Jaguars go on the road in the division and pick up a victory and also a cover. Are we looking for a big bounce back spot here, Mike, from Kansas City? Or is this one of those games where Jacksonville says, oh, no, now we're a player in the AFCs too, or the AFC as well?
Kind of a gross cover last week for the Jags where Etienne breaks that one late, pushes the game over, and they cover. So it wasn't a convincing one by any means, even though the 10-point victory looks like a greater distance than the game was. These two teams played last year, obviously, in the playoffs. It's one of two playoff rematches this week. 27-20 was the final there. I think this game feels like the obvious over of the week, right? Two high-octane offenses, and the obvious over in week one last week went way over with Miami and the Chargers. So I really am fascinated by this game. I am of the opinion that the Jaguars are taking a step forward. People may try to paint it with the brush that it's because of their weak division, but I really do think the Jaguars have acquired more talent, a significantly more talent. The Calvin Ridley addition, I still think, is underrated as to what it can do for this team. And I think this is a competitive game. It's a home dog situation. I'm going to take the points here. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm predicting the Jags to win, but I think the 3.5 here at home, I just like where the Jaguars are at right now, and I think this is a tight game late.
Patrick Mahomes is passing yards prop for this matchup, 301 and a hook. He'll be happy to have Travis Kelce back out there. Trevor Lawrence, 251.5. Trevor Lawrence tied for what is now the third best price to win the NFL MVP at 10-1 alongside three other guys. Patrick Mahomes, a co-favorite, despite maybe not the most illustrious statistical day in the opener for KC, plus 650. But who's right alongside Mahomes? Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa, that is, at plus 650. Blue, you mentioned that obvious over week number one. Tua Tagovailoa had 466 passing yards in that game against the Chargers. His Dolphins scored 36 points. They won 36-34, sailing over a pregame total of 51.5. The total not as high for Sunday Night Football in Foxborough, but Miami finds themselves as a 3-point favorite against the Patriots. Blue, what's the breakdown for Sunday Night Football?
As much as I like the Dolphins, and I think they are at a completely different level on the Patriots this year, this trend of betting on road favorites in division is a tough one to bet into. It just is. And I think that's why we're seeing it down to a flat 3, because the sharp bettors are going to get down with any divisional home dogs, as many as they can. And I think that's why you've seen it get to the flat 3. I think the overwhelming amount of bets will probably be on the Dolphins here based on the performances in week one. This is one of the trickier ones of the week for me. And yeah, I just don't feel comfortable betting the Dolphins as a divisional road favorite, but I will say that if these teams played on a neutral field, this is a touchdown or more. I think the Dolphins are far superior to the Patriots. It's just, can the Patriots defense get into his face in a significant way? I think that's going to really be the key to this game.
One of four games this weekend, including the Monday night game in the doubleheader between the Saints and the Panthers, at that key number of three. One of those other games, an AFC North divisional rivalry in Cincinnati. The Bengals looking to be better against the divisional foe than they were last week against the Browns, hosting the Ravens, a three-point number. Mike Blewett, we'll see you on Sunday afternoon, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern time, live for In Game Live. Everything you need from a live betting perspective on your NFL Sunday slate, Mike Blewett has you covered. DRS and myself give you the pick six for week number two up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get you fully set for the Sunday slate NFL week number two. 13 games on Sunday. Myself, Ben Stevens, and Donnie Wrightside break it all down in the pick six. In case you need reminding, here are the categories of the pick six. An anytime touchdown scoring prop that we like. A money line underdog, an under, either team total under, game under, whatever it might be. An alternate line, a yards prop to pay attention to, and each of us put our part into a teaser to hopefully find success. It did not work last week, DRS. I believe my portion, Steelers up to 8.5, failed us there. You hate to see it, although I doubt you really hated to see it, Donnie.
Yeah, week number one is always a little bit, you get the fun out of the way there. So, again, it is hard. It's only 6 points in the NFL. I did like where you went with the teaser last week because I thought the team actually probably would win the game outright. Just didn't happen. Yeah. We get back on track, no doubt about it.
No doubt about it. All right, DRS, start us off in this pick six. Who do you like to find Pater come Sunday?
Yeah, if we're looking for a big bounce back effort, and by the way, I like to have momentum as well. Last week, you might look at the Buffalo Bills and say they didn't play all that well offensively, and you would agree, but Stephon Diggs was still a factor and caught a touchdown pass. I look for him to repeat that performance this week at home against the Vegas Raiders. You take a look at Stephon Diggs here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a plus 100 to score an anytime touchdown. I think he's going to have a big day, and also the Buffalo Bills have a big day on offense. He's going to be a key contributor. He'll find pay dirt. I found pay dirt with my touchdown guy last week, and I'm going to do it again in week two here.
8.5 the spread in favor of Buffalo, a total at 47. When you're an 8.5-point favorite and the total is 47, you are expected to do a lot of the offense. And DRS, it seemed last week, despite the struggles offensively for Buffalo, anytime Josh Allen looked down the field, it was for Stephon Diggs. 13 targets, 10 grabs, 102 yards, and a touchdown. I'm looking for that quarterback-receiver connection as well, but not a receiver, a tight end. Last year, when Brock Purdy, DRS, became the starter in San Francisco, he looked one place and one place for the most part. It was the Seahawk connection with George Kittle, who, by the way, won the bet clearly in that Seahawk game last week. Brock Purdy had to come out to the news conference yesterday with an Iowa Hawkeye mascot head on his noggin. Last year, DRS, in the final five games of the regular season, when Brock Purdy became the starting quarterback for San Francisco, in the final four games, he found George Kittle in a big way. Seven touchdown grabs for Kittle in the last four regular season games. That Seahawk connection on full display. Didn't happen last week. Only 19 yards for Kittle, but was targeted six times. This week, as I think the Niners will run it up against the Rams, I look at George Kittle to find the end zone, plus 195. Let's stay with plus money, DRS. Who's your money line underdog pick for week number two?
Spoke last week on this, is certainly looking for a bounce back effort in a game where I don't think we're going to have too many points scored, which means it should be close and ripe for an upset. That is the Washington Commanders plus 168 going up against the Denver Broncos. Also remember, Eric Bieniemy going back into enemy territory as he was once in the AFC West. Comforting there that he's been there before, but also keep in mind, I didn't like overall the performance for Washington last week, but it's going to be a work in process. You know what I also didn't like? The Denver Broncos on offense. Washington has enough key pieces offenses in this game to hang around and take advantage. I'll take the Commanders plus 168 on the money line to go into Denver and start the season 2-0.
The Raiders went into Denver last week and won outright as a money line underdog. DRS, if you're correct, what do we do with the Broncos? If they start this year 0-2, favored at home in both of their games, is there a panic button still to smash in Denver? Or after a 5-12 year, we're like, yep, this is Russ now. This is what the Broncos are going to be.
Yeah, looking for the escape hatch on his contract at the end of the year is probably what the Walton family is going to do there. And also Sean Payton, he's going to want to have full control over that next quarterback. I think they're trying to make this marriage work, but boy, oh boy, seems on the rocks just to start out. They go 0-2, it's going to get really rocky.
Really, really rocky up in the Rocky Mountains. DRS, we talked about the week one overreaction and how it's informed the lines for week number two. I think there's been an overreaction for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yes, they won outright against Minnesota in Minnesota as a 4.5-point underdog on the opening Sunday of the season. But I don't really think the Bucs should be laying it against anybody. Now, I understand Chicago was abysmal in their opening Sunday game against the Green Bay Packers. They gave up 38 points, the worst scoring defense in the National Football League at the end of the year, looked to be the worst scoring defense in the NFL, and there wasn't much inspiration offensively out of Justin Fields and that new-look Chicago offense. But I don't think the Bears should be a 3-point underdog in Tampa Bay against Baker Mayfield's Buccaneers. In fact, DRS, they're no longer a 3-point dog. The market working that way. 2.5 now only is the spread in Tampa on Sunday. I think the Bears win outright plus 122 on that money line, get their first victory of the year. They're fourth only in the last two seasons now. DRS, we're seeing it the same way in terms of a lack of offense on Sunday at the Star in Dallas. A rather short total, 38.5 for the Cowboys and the Jets. Two defensive dominating performances for both teams week number one. Two defenses that were top 10 last year in scoring, expected to be, if not top 10, top 5 this year, Donnie. You're looking game total. Also start by going Cowboys team total under 23.5. Donnie, I think the Jets can cover 9.5. I really do. I don't think it's going to be that large of a disparity in this football game because of how good the Jets defense is going to be and now has to be the remainder of this year without Aaron Rodgers leading the offense on the other side. But without Aaron, the reason I don't like the Jets covering 9.5 as my favorite bet in this game and focusing on the Cowboys team total under 23.5, I'm not sure New York is going to do enough offensively to keep it within 9.5. Like, if Dallas scores 21 points, Donnie, they could still win 21-6 and cover as a 9.5-point favorite because the offense for the Jets unable to muster up enough. So I'm going to Cowboys under team total 23.5. They didn't have to do much offensively last week, of course, against the Giants. So I still think it's going to be a little bit slow against a really good defensive unit there in New York.
Yeah, take a look at the game plan for this game for the Dallas Cowboys and Mike McCarthy. And this is always going to be a big issue here. If he just plays it close to the vest, the Cowboys will win this football game. The only way this game goes over the total is if Mike McCarthy starts airing it out all over the place for no reason in a close game. And I do actually think it is going to be close. It's going to be determined by which quarterback does not put his defense in the wrong positions, which means bad turnovers on your own side of the field. Going in, sometimes you can live with those touchdowns in the red zone on plus territory. You can't live with them on your side of the 50. The reason I like this game to stay under 38.5 is exactly that. If you are the Cowboys, why are you pressing the needle down? Just get first downs, just make your field goals, just keep the football in the move because we're not expecting a whole lot out of that Jets offense here. But if you put the Jets in optimum situations, they're going to be able to cash in for points here. But I look for this game to stay under 40 points. And again, it's 38.5. I'll live with that. I don't think we're going to see an up and down pace here with two elite defenses. I think both teams sit back and wait for the first team to make a mistake, unless McCarthy says, I'm smarter than you, I'll beat your defense, then Dak throws two or three picks, and then you're going to get a game over the total. We're staying under in this one, Ben.
Dak Prescott tied for the lead in a bad way last year in terms of most interceptions in the NFL, 15 only in 12 games, and of course the Jets picked off Josh Allen three times last weekend. We showed the Zach Wilson prop board for Sunday in Dallas. It's just kind of mean. The passing touchdowns prop is only a half. He is favored at minus 250 to throw a touchdown. Zach, go out there and prove a couple of people wrong, if you will. All right, Donnie, you're not expecting points in another game in a big way on Sunday. That would be the Bengals and the Ravens. No love lost in the AFC North. What's the alt line, DRS?
It's pretty crazy here. You take a look at game number one. Never in your wildest dreams would you feel the Bengals win it with 3 points, let alone Joe Burrow play just about the whole game outside of getting benched and throw for under 100 yards. But quite frankly, that might continue this week. You take a look at the Ravens on their side. They weren't extra sharp on offense. They lost their best running back and also now banged up on the offensive line, which means you might be running a little bit more with your quarterback as opposed to your running backs here and maybe a little bit less time to connect with your wide receivers. But I'm not buying just into the offense for the Bengals yet. I need to see it to believe it. And again, we're not buying this down to 31.5. You're getting a plus money number at 42.5 points to stay under that total at a plus 150 price. If we look anything what we saw last week, where only 27 total points were scored, I think we're going to be in that same range in the mid to high 30s. I'll lean on an under until I see the Cincinnati Bengals prove it to me that Joe Burrow is healthy. We're going under in this division rival 42.5.
Injuries to the Ravens offensive line as well. Ronnie Staley for Baltimore. Tyler Linderbaum maybe not going to be out there for the flock up front. I'm going alt line Kansas City favored by 6.5 at a plus 142 clip on the road in Jacksonville. They lost on opening night inside Arrowhead as the defending Super Bowl champs because Kadarius Toney can't catch a football. See you later, Tony Phoney. We're not having you out there the rest of the way. Travis Kelce not there. Chris Jones not there. They're back. I think Kansas City makes a statement on the road in Jacksonville, DRS. Only a 3.5-point favorite. I'm going to up it to 6.5 under a touchdown still. The Chiefs cover and win by at least a touchdown. 6.5, that alt line at plus 142. DRS, what's your favorite yards prop of week number two?
Goes in unison. If I think we're going to have a big week by the Bills offense, that means that Stephon Diggs is going to be a central part. I already told you he's going to hit pay dirt. And if he does, it might be on a longer touchdown, which means I like his over receiving yards at 76.5. There's a legitimate chance he approaches the century mark in this game. A big offensive output for the Bills, which leads to a lot more money in my pocket. It's going to be Diggs having a big day. Take him to get 77 or more yards on Sunday.
DRS, I'm going back to the well. Justin Fields last week, a disrespectfully low passing yards prop at 178 and a hook that he sailed over against Green Bay. Again, not a pretty offensive performance, but 24 of 37, 216 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. If Justin Fields is going to be the face of the franchise in Chicago, if the Bears are going to stack up some wins and not just have three like they did a year ago, he must go over these numbers. It's 169.5, Donnie. Went down by almost 10 yards for this upcoming Sunday in Tampa against the Buccaneers, who allowed, by the way, Kirk Cousins to throw the football 44 times for 344 yards last week, albeit in a winning effort. My only issue, Donnie, is Luke Getsy as the offensive coordinator. I don't think he understands the talent, the quarterback position he has. Weird offensive schemes for Chicago. Free Justin Fields. Take off the reins, Luke, and let him go this weekend in Tampa Bay. All right, Donnie, let's finish with the teaser. What is your leg?
Hey, going right in unison again. The Buffalo Bills at home basically just to win the football game, which means they need to win by three or more. I'm going to take the Bills as my teaser leg in a big victory over the Raiders. No sweat in this one. Let's just keep it moving.
DRS, a smart move. Tease it under two key numbers from 8.5 through 7 and 3, only laying 2.5 against the Raiders. I'm going to tease the Packers up. Now the underdog against the Falcons getting 1.5. I'll take it through two key numbers as well, through 3 through 7, Green Bay +7.5. I actually think Packers went outright in Atlanta. I'm not overly impressed by the Falcons. I haven't been very high on the Falcons all year long, DRS, or at least the expectation entering this season. I still don't really believe in Des Ritter. I think the Packers are a good side, very strong defensively, getting after the quarterback as we saw last week in Chicago. That is the pick six for you for week number two from Donnie Wrightside and myself, Ben Stevens. We will finish out with a best bet up next for the National Football League before we head out of here on a Football Friday. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We close out 3 hours together. We close out an entire week together. Live right here on the Early Line on this Football Friday on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 159, all across the Sports Grid network, and that includes the new Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app, now available for download at the Apple and the Play Store. Scan the QR code on your screen. DRS, I just saw 4 5-star plays out of the Spiz Grizz app for Thursday Night Football last night. 3 of the 4 were winners. Those are some best bets. I thought you and myself handicapped the Thursday Night Football game in Philly pretty well between the Eagles and the Vikings. We try to keep it going as we roll into the Sunday slate here in week number 2. So before we say farewell and before we say goodbye, it's time for another NFL best bet. It is time for Bye Bye Bye. DRS, take us to some profits. Where are we going? Week number 2 in the second full Sunday slate of the year.
Been squawking about this all week. I'm taking a look at the Patriots, not to win the football game against the Miami Dolphins, but to score points here. If you want to be competitive against the Dolphins, you are going to have to return fire, which means I am digging in on that Patriots team total over 22.5 on a minus 108 price currently at the FanDuel Sportsbook. I think it makes sense. I think it's sound. I think it's economical. And Ben, I think it looks good.
I think it looks profitable as well. Miami still struggling defensively. Gave up 34 against the Chargers. Speaking of the Bolts, Justin Herbert only threw the football 33 times against Miami. They play the Titans this weekend. The pass attempt prop for Herb is not out yet. But DRS, he averaged more than 41 passing attempts last year. Keep an eye on that number if it's in the mid-30s. The prop not out yet as well, DRS, for the receiving yards number of Calvin Ridley. Last week in his debut in Jacksonville, it was 64.5. He had 101 on 11 targets and 8 grabs. Keep an eye on that number when it comes out against Kansas City. That would be my best bet over whatever the receiving yards prop is. He's Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for this week on the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid. We'll see you on Monday at 8 a.m. Eastern. Have a great weekend.